Find, if you would please, if you have your Bibles, the second chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. If you're visiting with us today and you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Feel free to reach out and grab it. Somebody may reckon or notice or see that you don't have one. If they have a couple of extra ones, they could find a place and give it to you. I have one goal today, and that are two goals today. My first goal would be to honor the Lord and preach what He'd have me to preach. My second goal would be just to be a blessing to you, to help you in your life personally, to help you in your family, to help you as you leave here to understand the hope of the Lord Jesus in our lives, and to encourage you today. I want today to be a great day in your life. When you think about preaching, a preacher thinks about preaching a Mother's Day message. There's all kinds of mothers that you can go to in the Word of God. I find myself that I keep returning to the second chapter of the book of Exodus, and I find myself with Moses' mother. I have preached from this passage before, but I did not preach this message. And it seems like every time I visit these 10 verses, that it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and richer and richer and more and more and more of a blessing. Such be the case today. So I want to preach to you a message from this chapter, and I trust that it will encourage you. I want to read a couple of verses, then I'll address my title if you pick up in verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Now you know that Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. You know that Levi is a tribe in the nation of Israel at this time. And so these were two folks that grew up in the same tribe. And there went a man and out of the house of Levi, and he took a wife. We understand from chapter 6 that the man's name is Amron, and the wife's name is Jochebed. Verse number 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Pastor, did I understand that right? Two people got married. They had a baby. As you study, you will find that this is the third baby that these two have had. Pastor, they hid the child 3 months. Why would you have a baby and hide him for 3 months? Was he ugly? By the way, I have visited many of mothers that have had children in our church, and I would just like to include even my children. I don't know that I've ever seen a pretty baby. I know I do my best to acknowledge, Pastor, aren't they beautiful? Yeah, there's them. Why would they hide? It wasn't ugly. Come to chapter number 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools getting ready to have birth, if it be a son, then you shall, what class? Kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. I love verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and you've saved the men children alive? The midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. This is funny. For they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. The midwife said, you Egyptian women, you're wimps. The Hebrew women are tough, man. They're getting it done before we can get there. Verse number 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Now listen to verse number 22. And Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. The reason that Moses had to be hid for 3 months when he was born was because he was born under a death sentence. What was happening in the land of Egypt, if you remember, years before, the nation of Israel was brought to the land of Egypt under the invitation of Pharaoh and under the guidance of Joseph. And when you begin to read the book of Exodus, you will find that Joseph, who was loved by the Pharaohs, has passed away. And now there's generations of Pharaohs that have arisen and they do not know Joseph. And from the beginning, God's blessed hand has always been on the nation of Israel. And so while they were in Egypt, they began to be blessed and multiply and grow. And one day, Pharaoh looked around and Pharaoh said, my goodness, there pretty soon there's going to be more Israelites than there's going to be Egyptians. And they began to fear for their safety. They began to fear for their life. And so Pharaoh wanted to stop what God was doing. Praise the Lord, no one can stop what God is doing. And so Pharaoh put a death sentence on the nation of Israel. And what he did was he called first, he tried to be secretive about it, and he brought them midwives over, and he said, now listen, in that moment when that little baby's being born, if it's a boy, take care of it. If it's a girl, let it live. Those midwives feared God. Always fear God more than you fear anyone else. God blessed them for that. And once Pharaoh realized that he was not going to be successful through that approach, then he enlisted the nation as a whole. And now it wasn't just the midwife or the doctor. It was your neighbor. It was your coworker. It was your employer. It was your employee. It was the people you shop with. It was all around you. If anybody knew that you were going to have a child, they were under charge by Pharaoh to take your little baby, walk them down to the Nile River, and do the unthinkable. And so this is the atmosphere and the environment that Moses is born into. You can only imagine what was going through the heart of Amram and of Jochebed and through parents. And as I was reading and studying this, I came to verse number 3. And there is a phrase in verse number 3. Look at it if you would please, because it's the text for my lesson today. After she had hid him 3 months, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. As I was preparing for Mother's Day, that phrase just leapt off the page into my understanding. And when she could not longer hide him. The title of my message today is entitled, A Mother's Nightmare. A Mother's Nightmare. I do not want you to let the title distress you. I'm hoping that the title, the message will direct you and bless you in your understanding today of the glory of the Lord. Jochebed gets to a position I think that mothers in this room can identify with. She's got to a position that really is a reality in motherhood and really kind of stays with you all throughout motherhood. Not just when the child is first born and an infant in your arms and you're nursing them and caring for them, but as they grow into elementary, as they develop into junior high, senior high, as they graduate, they go on to college, as they meet their spouse, as they begin to relate in marriage. And sometimes that marriage can be good and sometimes that marriage can be bad. And as children come forth and grandchildren come forth and the mother, the grandmother who's watching this, and sometimes your children don't raise the grandchildren the way that you thought they ought to raise the grandchildren. And sometimes there can be difficulty within that home and you're on the outside of that home. And really and truthfully, throughout the stages of motherhood, there's many, many times in a mother's life where she can no longer hide her Moses. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Where she can no longer care for her child, where she can no longer protect her child, where she can no longer provide for her child. And it's a very difficult place in parenting as a mother begins to understand her limitlessness now, or understand her limitedness now, thoughts begin to go through a mother's heart. Sometimes thoughts of despair as you see your child doing something or your child being affected by something, and you want so much to intervene and so much to make a difference, but it just isn't that way anymore. Sometimes a mother can know helplessness in her heart like no other feeling or emotion. Sometimes when a mother can no longer care or provide for a child or help a child, a sense of failure, a sense of insecurity can develop, a sense of fear. A mother's heart is a mother's heart, and it knows no end. And I think that as for mothers today, if you could just understand, this is Jochebed, and for 3 months she's done everything she can to protect and keep this child, and there just comes a reality where I just can't do it anymore. She looks into that goodly face. She looks into that goodly child, and she realizes that all of her resources have been exhausted. All of her hiding places have been found out. And in reality, there's nothing more that she can do. Maybe you're a mother today, and you kind of feel that way in the life of your child. I want to tell you something. Don't forget this. There may come a time when there's a limit to what you can do, but there is never a limit to what God can do. Pastor, that's me. I'm watching my children, and they won't let me help them. I'm watching my children, and they're making decisions that I know are not right. I'm watching my child, and they go to school, and they're bullied, or they go to school and they face such persecution, or they've suffered in this, or my child has this little bit of a handicap, or my child has this little bit of difference about them, and what did God, Pastor, that it would have been me? What did God that I could do anything to make it? But I just can't help anymore. And so you understand the helplessness and the failure and the insecurity feelings. I would submit to you that those feelings are not real as in their validity. They're real in what you think. But I've got news to you, good news for you. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Jochebed. Can you imagine? She can no longer hide him. So what does she do? Well, the Bible says in verse number 3, that she took for him a little ark of bulrushes. She made him a little covering, a little boat. She daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags or the reeds by the river's brink. There came a time in the life of Jochebed where she was at the end of her resource and at the end of her abilities, and she just had to let go. She just had to let go. I have found that letting go is easier said than done. I should get an amen from all the women in here. Pastor, that's my baby. I'll show you in a moment that there is some truth to that, but there's a deeper truth to that. Pastor, I just can't let go. Pastor, what do you mean? Do I just give up? No, I'm not telling you to give up. I'm telling you that there is a direction that you need to understand. And so when Jochebed got to the point where she was no longer able to provide for her child and keep that child safe, which I think is the drive of every mother, she had to let her child go. Well, Pastor, I'm not really ready to throw my child into the river, although I've thought about it a time or two. No. Here's what she did do, though. At the point of her limitedness, she knew that with God, nothing is impossible. And so in letting go, she let go so she could trust the Lord. So she could trust the Lord. Mom, the greatest secure position you have as a mother is in the person of Jesus Christ. Mom, you can't fix your baby. Mom, can't make your baby do right. Mom, you can't keep him from the consequences. Mom, you're not going to be there all the time. Mom, It's not really your job to do that. So Jochebed gets to the point where she can't care for the child anymore, and she's going to have to let the child go, and she's going to have to trust the Lord. What a joy it is to be a Christian parent. What a joy it is to understand the Word of God. What a joy it is to be able to trust the Lord. I got news for you. God can do better than you can do, and He can do better all the time. When you read the story, she took her little baby and she put him in that little ark, and she laid him by the reeds by the river bank. It's interesting in verse number 4 that it was his sister that stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. His sister was the one that stayed there to see what happened. Where did his mother go? I was thinking about that, and I don't know that I can 100% support this with a text, but I think I can support this in principle. After Jochebed came to the place where she realized that she could no longer care for this child, that she was going to have to let him go, and she was going to have to trust the Lord for her child, she built that little thing, and she put her child down on that riverbank, and then I think she went home, and she did what every godly parent ought to do. I think she wrapped her arms around her man, and her man wrapped his arms around her, and I think they found a quiet place in their house, and I think they fell down on their face, and I think they prayed like they have never prayed before in their life. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your children like that? Do you pray for your children? They sang a beautiful song, A Mother's Prayer. It was my mother's prayer that kept me. Mom, the greatest weapon you have is the weapon of prayer. And I think that they went back and they prayed. Now, I want to say something about this, because to me, there's nothing more precious than peace. Than peace. I'm a parent. I have 4 children. I know it's Mother's Day, but let me lump the dads and moms here. The day that I stopped having peace was the day my children were born. And I'm learning now, and this is no slam against Madison, but problems don't end once they leave your house. Can't you keep your problems in Pensacola? You're out of my house. I don't need your problems now. You never stop worrying about your kid, do you? And I've come to the place in my life, and my wife have come to the place in our lives many times where we can no longer protect our kids, and we've had to trust the Lord, and we've had to just say, Lord, your will's got to be unfolded in their life. You've got to keep them. Now, what keeps me peaceful and sane is that we pray. Philippians chapter 4 talks about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Listen to me. Trusting in the Lord, fervent prayer will be the only thing that will bring peace to a mother's heart. It won't be anything else. In the good days and in the bad days, peace. A praying mother is a peaceful mother. Pastor, I'm just blown out of my mind, nervous about my children. I just can't relax. Pray. I do pray. Liar. Why would you say that, Pastor? I pray. True prayer brings true peace. Mom, there's coming a day you can't care for him anymore. There's coming a day when you're going to have to let him go. There's coming a day when in that letting go, you better know how to put them in the trust of the Lord, and you better know how to pray for them. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Christian mom and dad, look at this pastor in his face, please. I'm asking you, do you pray for your children? In praying for their children, something wonderful happens. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. And the Bible says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had, would you say that word, please? Compassion on him. Immediately she understands what's going on. And she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. She knew the Hebrew women were under a death sentence. She knew what all it took for this lady to put her baby in this position. Man, compassion wrenched the heart of the daughter of Pharaoh. Verse number 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's, say that word, mother. You know what I have written down on my paper? I can't wait to read it to you. Only God works life out like this. Only God works life out like this. Are you kidding me? This woman, broken and destroyed in her confidence, except for her faith in the Lord, puts her baby under a death sentence, man. Either the crocodile's going to get him, an Egyptian's going to get him, or you're going to deliver him, God. I don't know, but he's in your hand. If he dies, he dies under your hand. If he lives under your hand. I don't have anywhere to go. I can't protect him. I can't keep him. I can do nothing, but I can trust you. And I can pray. And God begins to move. And little Miriam walks up to the daughter of Pharaoh and says, do you want me to get a nurse? Yeah, go get a nurse. And she went and she called the child's mother. This is better than Hallmark. What a plan God had. What a purpose God has. Nobody works life out like God works life out. Well, Pastor, we're doing pretty well in our life and we're not with God. I got news for you. God can do better. Well, we have everything that money can buy. That's right. And there are things money can't buy, like salvation and peace and grace and mercy and protection and life and joy and love. There's nothing or no one greater than our God. And God works out life the best. We think we've got it planned. Oh, I remember buying nursery furniture for Madison, our first baby. And you kind of work through your mind about how you think their life is going to be and what's going to happen. And then life just turns. I'll never forget the day I took her to the simple doctor's visit. And the doctor said, Mr. Hunter, sit down. Your daughter has a disease. I thought, my God, what are we doing? Next thing I know, we're rushing to a hospital. We're hooked up in this room and we're going through the process of all of that. And then I don't know about you, but once the kids started coming, I couldn't shut them off. Man, Casey and Tommy and Allie and now you got life and I found that their personalities are different and I found that something that worked for one doesn't work for the other and some you could get full, the other one eats every moment of his life. You can't tell who that one is. I found that I can be strong with some of them. I got to be soft with others. Some take admonition. Some need encouragement. I'll never forget the day God gave me a verse about the health of good words. And I find that some deal with pressure and some don't. And some are affected by words and some don't care what anybody thinks, including their mom and dad. And there's just all kinds of difference. And we talk about what they're going to do when they grow up, but they're not guaranteed tomorrow. And being a parent is hard work. But I come to find out that Tom's plan and Beverly's plan and our ability to work life out for our kids falls so short of what God can do in the life of our family. Nobody works life like God works life. You can trust him. Pastor, I look in the life of my kid right now and I don't know that I see that. Pray. Pastor, I would to God my kid's life was different. Let God finish his work. Pastor, I've made so many mistakes. I got news for you. God can take care of every one of those mistakes. The songwriter said, they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. The songwriter said, when you finally have no place else to go, you'll find that I'm sufficient. My dear precious mother today, your child's life may not make sense to you right now. But if you could just stop and you could let that child go, trusting the Lord, trusting him into the Lord's hands, and you could just step back and submit yourself to whatever God is doing, and you could hold God to the authority of his word, and you could pray, and peace can fill your heart, and you can look at your life and you can say, there is no way out. Oh, I got news for you. There's a way out. And his name is Jesus Christ. And nobody can work life like God can work life. Go call your mother. I've said that 100 times in my life already. Go check with your mother. Go call your mother. Matter of fact, that's been my life verse in raising our children. Keep reading if you would. And Pharaoh's daughter, verse number 9, said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. That would be awesome. You imagine getting paid to be a parent? It's about dadgum time. How come this verse doesn't get preached? And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. Now watch this. Another hard phrase in this. And he became her son. Oh, man. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Pastor, after all of that, are you telling me that after all of that, there was a day when Jochebed had to bring Moses back to that princess? And he became her son? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being her mother standing there, knowing that it's time to that now she will be the mother in my child's life? Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. But I need you to understand that Jochebed understood something that God brought her to. Moses was not just her son. Moses was God's man. God allows two people to have children. But mom and dad, we are stewards of our children. You have a responsibility when God gives you a child, that God also gives you this responsibility to train up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We get very possessive. We get very selfish. And I'm not kicking us for that. I'm just saying that if we let that possession, we think that our children belong to us. In reality, your child is on loan to you from God. Some of you are thinking, when does this thing term out? Jochebed hands over Moses, and he becomes her son, Pharaoh's daughter's son. But there's coming a day when Moses will be Jochebed's deliverer. There's coming a day when it will be Moses' mother that will be standing in the crowd. And it will be her son that God has worked to bring that nation to the ground. It will be her son that went in there and told Pharaoh, let my people go. It will be her son that raised up his hands and split the sea. It will be her son that's leading millions of people out of that war-torn, rampaged place that God had given them victory. It will be her son following the cloud, following the pillar of fire. It will be her son delivering the nation. God had a plan for Moses. And God has a plan for your child. Matter of fact, God has a plan for every child. He wasn't Jochebed's son. And he wasn't the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was God's man. Jochebed knew this. The book of Hebrews tells us about that. The Bible also says that by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. My friends, mother, mom, God has a plan for your child. Here's what I need you to understand. The plan that God has for your child is the greatest plan your kid could ever know. Don't get in the way. Don't get in the way of what God wants to do in the life of your kid. You're to be an encouragement to the plan that God has for your child. She prepared her son to know the Lord. She prepared her son to serve the Lord. She prepared her son to live by faith, which he did. And you can find that in the book of Hebrews. There came a day when she had to turn over her son to Pharaoh's daughter, but she knew that she wasn't turning him over to him. She had already turned him over to the Lord, and Moses was God's man. A mother's nightmare when you can no longer keep your child safe. Where do you go? Sometimes you have to let that child go into the grace of God and trust the Lord. And pray and let peace fill your heart. Pastor, are we going to make it? What kind of life are they going to have? My friends, no one works life out like God works life out. No one can do in your child's life what God can do in your child's life. And you better realize, Mom, that God gave you a child to love, nurture, and to raise. Because God has a plan for that child. I want to ask you this question. Are you a mother that knows how to help your child to understand God's plan for their life? Are you a mother who knows how to help your child understand God's plan for their life? The greatest thing you can do, Mom, is help your child understand God's plan for their life. For a mother to be able to do that, first off, a mother has to know God. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to know God in your heart. And then I think, Mom, if you know the Lord, the Word of God has to dwell in you richly. Mothers, the number one book you ought to be reading in your life is the Word of God. I beg you to read the Word of God. Pastor, why do I need to read the Word of God? Because as you read the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God builds faith in your life. You'll never be able to teach your child anything you don't know. I would say this, Mom. Children watch their parents. Don't do as I do. Do as I... That's stupid. You're evidence of that. You chew on that a while. You'll get that. I taught them to do better. How? Well, I told them what to do. No kid listens to what their parents say. They watch what they do. Just come spend the day with me. Just sit in my chair. Pastor, the first time I ever had alcohol, I had it in my parents' bedroom. Today, it's destroyed my life. Pastor, the first cigarette I ever smoked was my dad's cigarette. And now I have lung cancer. Pastor, the first pornographic situation I ever saw was in my parents' home. And now I can't escape it. It's destroyed my marriage. I don't know how to relate to my wife. I'm in trouble. Pastor, the first time I ever stole, I watched my dad be dishonest. And it just got easier and easier and easier. Marriage will expose you. Children will also reveal you. Just come sit in my world a little bit. Mom and Dad, sometimes we think because we close the door that we're private. But info leaks through the walls of our lives. No mom, no dad is going to be able to enable a child to know God, love God, and walk with God if you're not doing it yourself. I can't make you do that. You got to submit and want it. But there will be a day of reckoning. And there will be a day when you will look at your children and they're going to be full grown and they're going to make their own decisions. And you're going to find that a lot of times those decisions are going to reflect the home in which they grew up in. God help us to be faithful. God help us to be obedient and holy in the Word of God. Mom, in your worst nightmare, you can trust the Lord. He's always faithful. When you don't understand your life, let the Lord have it and let Him work life out. Nobody works life out like God works life out. You ought to be preaching that to your children. You ought to be practicing that yourself. And you need to recognize that you have the responsibility to nurture and to train not just your child, but God's child. For the sons and the daughters that we have are really God's men and God's women. And we ought to raise them to know, love, and walk with the Lord. I don't want the message to distress you. I want the message to direct you. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? Let me just read a couple of verses and I'll be done. When I think about the hell that those moments must have been for Jochebed, I can't help but just be blessed by what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. Are you there? All right, here we go. I'm going to read verse number 23. Out loud, we'll read verse 24 together. I'll read 25, and out loud, we'll read verse number 26. And out loud, we'll read verse 20, or we'll go back and forth. I lost my place, but you keep up. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. By faith, she trusted the Lord, of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24 out loud, please. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Please concentrate on every word in verse 26. Here we go. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. I love this. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. To God be the glory. Verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. What a success story. His mother trusted the Lord in the middle of her nightmare. His mother understood that only God works life out. Only God works life out like that. And she understood he wasn't her boy. He was God's man. And God had a great plan for him. Her job was to enrich that in his nurturing. Happy Mother's Day. To all my mothers out there, hard job. How do you know? Because all of us men got to live with a mother. Don't underestimate your influence. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. Mother, 3 things. Never stop loving the Lord. Never stop loving your husband. Never stop loving your children. Amen. Amen. Let's go eat. Let's pray.